FPG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
G'day and thanks so much for getting our preview podcast of Winterbottom Stakes Day. We're going to start off obviously with a big Group 1 there. Elite Street is one of our Hall of Famers in the year-round carnival. We liked him, what he did this time last year. He's not $30, but Vince Accardi from Daily Sectionals, he's obviously the starting point of this this terrific sprint race.
Yes, he is, Ralphie. I know. Can you imagine? Just a year goes by, and who would have ever thought there could be like a $28 difference? Exactly. You want to talk about getting value early? Well, yeah. Well, it might still be value now. That's probably the real reality of it all. When we look at this particular race here, Ralphie, I actually feel that this is an easier race for the horse this year than last year.
Well, there's no Eastern States opposition, let's face it. That's always going to be a starting point.
Absolutely. And the reality, coming into the race with a pretty much, when we break it down, firstly, the peaking performance of this horse last year was 4.8 lengths above IVR benchmark.
And that was now, you said at the time that would be competitive anywhere in the country. He obviously didn't get right after that, but he looks like he's back in town. What's he been profiling this time in?
This is it. Does he look like he's back in town? Goodness me, does he ever. So, he's had the three runs for the campaign. He opened up first up 1,000 metres, 2.6, best of the day performance. And then last start, 1,100 metres, 3.4, 15th best of the day. What I've noticed as well is when I've sort of peeled through those three performances, like he's just losing a little bit of speed at each of those runs. And that's the first characteristic sign of a horse being desperate for more ground, gets that today. So that's for me what makes it very, very scary, that the horse gets that profile of the extra 100 metres and looks absolutely set to run the 4.8. More importantly, I actually feel that when I looked at the horse first up and just the context of the 2.6 at 1,000 metres, what did that all mean? I took a position that this horse has come back two lengths better. So I'm not expecting anything less than that. So if the horse runs anywhere between last start's performance, a 3.4, if he just runs that, he wins, Ralphie. At 4.8, he's unbeatable. So that's where we're at with it.
That's a nice start. So how often you say about the proper break? He only had 77 days before not coming up in Melbourne. 57 days, two runs. But now he's had that proper break, 140 days, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, he looks set to make it four in a row, and we're probably going to really see what he's capable of in terms of where's his sprinter really lie in amongst all the other sprinters that we know in Australia. And he's going to be right up there. Is he just going to be one of these horses that's only going to show his best in Western Australia? That might be the situation. Or maybe he's an older horse, more mature. If they bring him across in the future, it'll be very different. But against this field, won't have a problem. I don't know, Ralphie. It's hard for me to get excited about any other runner. I've gone through each and every horse. There are a couple of other runners that have got good capability and I expect big performance, and a couple of outsiders as well that could run really boldly. But if we're really trying to get down and get serious about who's going to be the likely winner, the market's got it right.
So I haven't yet asked you how you're expecting the race to be run. So big field 16, the old racing adage, big fields create pressure. Is that what you're expecting here?
Yeah, I can't see anything but pressure. There's two or three genuine go-forward horses. Wilchino, India Pacific, definite go-forward horses. And then we've got three other fringe players in Money Matters, Red McCann and Caprico, also wanting to have a look at the front. So there's not going to be any resting. And again, when we look at the sort of track profile and how that sort of sits in terms of what's best, on pace is definitely a good plus. It's around 46%. But the reality is this: if you're occupying the first three lanes, it's only marginally better than last week. You know, last week was like about 3% strike rate. This is about 8%. Where you want to be is 4 to 11 off the fence. So just look out. They're going to want to hunt for those middle part of the track, and it's got significant advantages. It's like 2-3 lengths quicker, Ralphie.
You're almost profiling this like it should be a shade of odds on.
Oh, the horse should start at back 50.
Okay, nice and simple. So this time last week, you were doing somersaults about Western Empire, but we wanted to find some value in the multis, and we did that. So let's try and pick this apart. On my work pre-seeing your data, I thought, well, World Chino's a really fast horse. We've stands it nice and simply in the 1,000-1,100 range. It's won last start at 1,200, but it got it on its terms in a small field. What you've described now is pressure, and as second favourite, is he the one who could be a bit vulnerable late?
Well, I'm not sure about the vulnerability part of it, Ralphie, because when we look at what happened in that last run, good fast speed first section, plus 2.2. He may be asked to go quicker today. He could have to find another length or two. But the mid-race was unbelievable for this horse, 9.8. I mean, that's savage, right? And hence the reason why he had the big drop-off light of what's the horse lose? 2.8 lengths over the last 200 metres. That was the taper. And it was all to do with that massive combustion in the mid-race. So I don't see that as being his problem. What I do see is a problem. I don't feel that run would have been of any great benefit for the horse, right? Because it's a huge mid-race move. So in other words, he's basically used virtually 12 lengths of energy through the first two-thirds of the race.
Yep.
So that's pretty high pressure. And that was – now, see, this is the thing. It was third off a short break. If it was a long break, I'd be very excited, but it's not. It's off a short break. So I see that as a peaking performance, and I'll be surprised if the horse repeats it. But if he runs to that number, he has to be respected, and he's going to be a go-forward horse if they get off the fence. And Chris Parnham's a very smart rider. He'll be looking to do that. He's not going to stay on the fence, Ralphie, right? He's going to get off that fence and try and get that edge and, you know, run me down if he can, or maybe he'll take the tag on Indian Pacific. It just depends on what happens. I feel that he may end up taking the tag on Indian Pacific and he'll be given every chance, but it's going to fall short because I don't see him improving anymore. So that's the – or her improving anymore. That's the only negative I have on the horse.
So personally, what you've just described, it just adds to the confidence here on Elite Street, given on what we're talking about, $240, $250 versus about $4 in the market. So Will Chino's taking up a big chunk in the market. What you've just described is it's probably a peaking performance last start, probably need more tomorrow. So interesting how you want to approach your multis on that perspective. Graceful Girl, Pike, Williams, off what we always call in the sizzle is the picket fence. Best last 800, 600, 400, 200 of the day. So good closing speed when it chased Elite Street last start. What's it mean for tomorrow?
Well, here's the thing. We were just talking about the early speed loss of Elite Street, but Graceful Girl is even worse. You have a look at all three runs for the prep. They're all in that 4.7 below to 6 lengths below IVR benchmark first section. So last start was 6 lengths below. That's a real sign about how desperate the horse is for more ground. And when I say more ground, this horse, all its profile clearly indicates that we're not going to see the best of this horse, I believe, until we get up around 1,400. But what it did last start was fantastic. To be able to do plus 2.9, go 6 lengths below benchmark first section, have a booming mid-race of plus 6.3, and actually increase its race pace over the last 400 with a plus 7.3, just clearly indicates the talent of this horse and the capability. No doubt they're targeting this race, right?
Yeah.
But my view is this horse is looking for 1,400, not 12. So it looks to me it's going to be too short because they're both going to come with a big sprint, but Elite Street's going to be in front of it. And the reality is they have a very similar structure in their profile about the way they can finish off their last 600 and 800 metres, and Elite Street's just going to be the better sprinter. And that's the downside for this horse. But as far as the horse being able to elevate further, I see no reason at all why this horse can't improve further. But I don't know if it's going to come tomorrow at 1,200 because all the signals clearly indicating 1,400 metres is where this horse belongs now.
Sounds like what you're describing, though. If you're a trifecta player, this is not a horse to leave out for second and third.
Correct.
All right, nice and simple there. Where do we go outside of those horses? Because it looks like it's a race that drops right away.
It does. So some of the horses that we should look at, Ralphie, that should be definitely considered in your multi-play. I'm not suggesting at any point in time are these horses going to be winning. I mean, there has to be a fair bit of carnage for this to happen, right?
Yep.
But first of all, the first runner I wanted to touch on is number 4, Laveroux. Laveroux. Yep. We've seen this horse last campaign in Victoria. That performance at Caulfield of plus 2.6 was excellent. It was best of the day that day, Ralphie, if you remember. Look at the last 400 metres on that horse, plus 7.4. We know this horse has got an excellent sprint. The two runs this time in, I feel they've been excellent. First up, Belmont off a long break. Used all his energy in the mid-race before tanking out late. Turned just below benchmark, but it was a tough day to run time, Ralphie. Top 10, plenty of respect. Then went to 1,100 metres, like coming back in distance and managed to improve another length. Again, what I liked about it was this. Didn't quite show the same speed early, entitled to, because coming back in distance. But the mid-race was about half a length better, and the last 400 metres was almost 3 lengths better than its first up run, giving me the confidence that this horse is now ready to elevate somewhere near its top. That's the problem, though. The top at the moment sits at 2.6. I'm not sure if the horse can go past that. We're going to find out tomorrow if it can do any better than that, but that's the challenge for the horse. I mean, how's this horse going to find at least another length, and then another length again to tackle someone like Elite Street? But as far as being a high probability of filling in a place, big chance for that.
Well, that's $41, so that's one to put on side. Yep, super. Yep.
The other runner, there was two others. The other runner that I always feel you can never dismiss, and firstly when we look at the stable and the type of structure they have about targets, Flirtini is one that can never be dismissed. We know at its absolute best from a class point of view. He's probably one of the very, very few horses, other than a horse like Rock Magic, who's like becoming a dinosaur now, right?
Yep.
But putting that to the side, the horse is still racing superbly, is capable of running in the 4 range. So this is one of those runners. And for that reason, firstly, I look at the makeup. How's it going into its 3 runs? You can just get that feeling, like super targeted for this race. You see, first up, 1,000 metres, minus 4.6 first section. Distance too short, Ralphie. Overall performance, just below benchmark, just outside the top 10. They stayed 1,000 metres, massive negative. Pretty much does the same sort of speed through the first section, but roughly the same sort of performance, right, overall. The difference in the racetrack from one meeting to the other was about a half length, but the overall performance was the same. And then went up 1,100, also screaming out for 1,200. And you could see the improvement in speed early, about 3 lengths. Overall, about a half length better. Now, up to 1,200 metres, we don't have to go back too far, Ralphie. Let's just go back to January 21. There it is, 3.9, 1,200 metres. 4.5 to start before that, over 1,100 metres. Look at the 3 leading runs. Not quite the same profile, but the signs are that I'm expecting a 2, 2.5 on the low, and who knows, if the stable have got it absolutely on point, we could see this horse go to +4, and then all of a sudden, you know, it could take a second or third position.
Well, pretty much what you described about this being a weaker event than last year, when you compare when it ran 50 last year, well, you can take out Celebrity Queen, who then dead-heated in the Oakley Plate. You've got Trekking, who obviously we really well know. So that's a really interesting line. The other one I'm interested in your thoughts on is Stage Man. Now, you always say beware the unlucky runner. It was unlucky last start, but, what can it do here? Change of jockey, good stable, obviously really good stable, and it ran in a luckless manner last year in this race. And again, what we're saying is it's a weaker edition. And last year, 2.1 with traffic. Has it got anything in its profile that says it's a place threat?
Well, of course it did the 2.1. It's got a peaking performance of around 2.5 if we go right back to the beginning of their campaign, Ralphie, and it was a long campaign. Maybe they learned things, but what I don't like is this. I don't like it when they have, you know, stack of racing. Now, that campaign it did. Then they had a long break of 294.
Yep.
And this time it's at 322. So, the breaks are big, right?
Yeah.
So, that's – I mean, it's great that they're doing that, right? But the reality is that also tells me that when you have 322 days off and you come up first up as a seven-year-old and you run 1.6 and you look down at the breakdown of the data and you're actually going faster late than early – is a sign how about how fit you are, and you actually look at all three runs. I love looking at the last 200 metres because what I want to see is any signs of taper. And it, like that last run at 1,100 metres, there should have been a taper there.
Yep.
But there isn't. The horses, so that means the horse must have been super fit. And some of the things that I've learned from experience is some of these horses, they have 322 days off, but what's not clearly understood is this: they may have had a preparation and then pulled the plug on the campaign, and then the horse had a shorter break, and then there it is. In our world, we see it as being 322, and it may not have been that, right? Just didn't have racing, but it had plenty of track work, like an abundance of it, because this is a sign of a horse starting a campaign like it's only had 100 days off.
Right.
So what that means for me is this: where's the improvement going to come? What, you think maybe no traffic, there'll be no, the horse is just all of a sudden going to be unbelievable? I don't think so.
No.
It's going to be a 2.5 lengths above IVR benchmark. That's where the horse is going to end up. Now, could that get you on the podium? Yeah, it could. It could get you on the podium, but that's all you're going to be lucky enough to do, because it would mean that Elite Street got left in the barriers. You know, four horses gang tackled and said, right, we're not letting you out of this little pocket until the last 50 metres. Yep. Now, these things could happen, but yeah, you're talking about, you know, real crappy talk from me.
And one I'll finish with here, unless there's something else that we want to mention for Maltese, is just a horse called Cup Night. Now, they training it now, seemingly targeting this as a sprinter, a horse with a good first up profile. It's previously had a best of the day first up win this track and distance. So we have to go back a bit to 2020. Last year it ran in the Railway and the Kingston Town. So seemingly they're saying, right, we're going to train you as a fresh sprinter. Can it produce a run?
I had a good close look at this runner. Look, there's always going to be chances for miracles, but I just got this feeling the stable's making massive errors. And this, I'm not saying the stable's not capable. I feel it's highly unlikely, but if this horse won this race first up, firstly, it's a miracle horse, and secondly, miracle training. Like, it's just like everybody want to be taking lessons from this trainer. How did you do it? Because that's the sort of miracle we're talking about.
Shooting for the stars.
Yeah, beyond the stars. We're going past Mars.
So I should end with Indian Pacific, who ran second in the Newmarket earlier this year. Is it at a place chance?
It's a good horse, Ralphie, with a solid level of capability, but we've got real visibility about its level, though, right?
Yep.
That's the challenge. If we take away Elite Street, I would say to you, all things are possible about every runner we've touched on.
Right.
All things are possible for victory. And this is why I keep coming back, that there's just a real gap. Right? This is nice. This is the arbitrage, right? The gap is significant, and the market's not a true reflection of that.
Well, if people buy our stuff, they want to know your full opinion about horses at any price. And in this case, you're saying that this is a value proposition. It should be deep odds on, and it's not. So that's a really good sign. Elite Street to go back-to-back. In summary, Will Chino, fast horse, talented horse. Can she get it her way in front? Or indeed, did she peak last start? Graceful Girl should be crushing the line, but better at 1,400, but a real strong chance for Maltese, and a couple of really big odds that you've included, Laver Rod and Flirtini, to give great respect to if you're looking to go out wide for some trifecta first four type action. Have I missed anything?
No, just the other one as a flukish chance, just only for Maltese. I like the profile of a horse called Riverboro, who's, I don't know, I think he's the ranked outsider.
He is, 200-1.
Yeah, so I do like the profile of this, and the reason why I like the profile of this, everything in his data indicates to me that he could be a horse that actually needs the 1,200 metres.
So even though he's been a short course sprinter?
Yeah, and I see from my profile that I don't have a ceiling on him, and I always worry about that. And I just go back to Ascot back in April, 1,100 metres. That's the big indicator for me, that run there, 2.4 above, best of the day. Very, very strong in the mid with a plus 6.7. Overall, last 400 was plus 1.5. And then when I look at the breakdown, there was actually a taper at the end. And that, to me, with all the exertion, that horse didn't get its opportunity. They actually went back in distance. And what it was showing was the horse was actually had already peaked on its campaign. So this time in, they've had two runs. That last start, very hidden in my view. 4.9 first section, booming mid-race of 5.9, 4.1 last 400. Oh, I'm very confident this horse isn't going to have any issues with 1,200 metres, and it's going to, at the bare minimum, run to 2.4. Now, we've been talking about it. All these horses are all in the mid-twos. Here's a horse at a couple of $100 to one. For me, if you're looking at a multi, I would definitely be throwing this in as a fluker's chance of getting in, because if it runs 2.4 or slightly better, that's like looking at a spot on the podium, and I'm looking at horses off pace.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, what about this for some mixed form lines here in race six of the program? Vince, the first leg of the quaddie, the regional championship final, the road to Ascot. Have they got some road here? Pikes, Scandolo, best of the day at Kalgoorlie, Warm and Fuzzy, Faster Geraldine, Alcina, best of the day at Esperance, Significant Hero, second best last two of the day at Geraldine. Have we got anything here?
Well, obviously, first is the first leg of the quaddie.
Yes.
The first key thing that I would say is this. Not only look at the MAs in terms of which horses you want to take into consideration, but also use the QR, and that's all the horses that are highlighted in black and yellow, of course, the Richmond colours, Ralphie. I know that might not be to your great love, right? But I like that colour, right? Black and yellow. Because from historical point of view, the QR sits at anywhere between 90 and 100%, right?
Yep.
So that means you're going to have a high chance of being able to get this first leg, because it is a little bit of a dartboard, right? And this is why I'm referring to these two aspects. Number one, look at the MA. Number two, look at the QR. So if there's a leg to go a little bit wide, this is definitely one. But coming back, who's the favourite at the moment, Ralphie?
Well, the four I touched on is pretty much a handful. So you've got Scandolo, Warm and Fuzzy, Alcina, Significant Hero, all around the $6 mark, showing how open the race is.
Yeah. So Scandolo, first and foremost, when we look at this race, 1,200 metres, broke through last run for the first time in the prep above benchmark. It was best of the day at Kalgoorlie with a 0.5 above. On the raw, 6.9, so it gives you a lot of confidence. The track was very fast and the performance was solid. I like the fact that over the very last 200 metres, the horse actually had a little bit of a taper. It was 0.1 below benchmark. Overall loss of velocity was around two lengths, Ralphie. It doesn't mean, does this mean that the horse is going to improve more? No. What it just means is the horse gave everything that it had. And the reason why the horse had the tanking and what was really important was, have a look at the prior run, Ralph. It was 9.1 below benchmark, and all other runs, with the exception of first up, they were all well below benchmark first section. And this was the first time that the horse was asked to use a lot more speed. So we had almost a 9.5 length turnaround in speed in the mid race as well. This is that was a PB for the horse, Ralphie, in the mid, going plus 4.7, and a huge sort of exertion in terms of sustained speed. So it was entitled to sort of really capitulate. Overall, last 400 was above benchmark as well. So this was the first time we've seen the horse give everything, and I like that, because now it's going to be rock hard into tomorrow's race. And this is why I didn't want to dismiss the horse. I've got it hard in the top four, and I expect it to take one of the top four spots, especially with Pikey on board.
Well, it's a nice HY odds, even though it's among the four favourites. That's something to consider there. But as you said, it's an open race for the quaddie. We might be able to narrow down another one as far as the second leg of the quaddie goes. Midnight Blue is favourite. This is what we wrote about in Sizzlers when it won a fortnight ago. 2.1 lengths above benchmark, fifth on the day, missed 301 days between preps, and after running third in last year's Perth Cup, he's bang on target for that race again. Second up, he's matched his PB, set over 2,200 last December in a high-pressure setup. 5.1 the 800, but five lengths from the lead for Matchant, going 5.6. Last 400 was 0.2, but lost 1.5 lengths over the last 200 despite winning. Some chance of flatness next start, given the big race-to-race elevation from -3 first up, same track distance a fortnight earlier, but from the elite Williams stable, we expect good ongoing class-staying performances. How are you ranking it tomorrow?
Yeah, so here's the first cut. When I just go through the cleanse and just look at all the runners, just like me positioning all the chess pieces together and just getting some understanding about, okay, where's everybody at? So on the first cut, I go, oh my goodness, this horse should be odds on. But then when I deep dive and really rip it apart, this is going to be, for me, it's going to be very interesting. Under normal circumstances, with a 2.1 like you touched on, second up, those, as you said, first section went, it went 5.1 versus 6.9 below. That's a monster turnaround speed, but not enough to bother me. But the midsection was actually faster, 5.6. So that's a combined first two sections of almost 11 lengths above IVR benchmark. Like, that is just like quantum leaps better than the first up run. They're both at 1800. Now, the one thing stables can't predict is this that easily, is how fast are they going to go in a race? That run there, second up's not ideal. He's absolutely not ideal for a third up 2100 off a two-run campaign going into this, because it was brutal. And it would have been far more brutal than what anyone would have anticipated. So there's a level of flatness that's highly on the cards. So the first thing that has to happen is you need to get into a soft tempo race, because that's usually what can help you overcome flatness. And then, is the horse going to be able to do that? On talent, I expect no matter what happens tomorrow, this horse is going to continue to rise. But tomorrow, I'm not sure if the horse can go past that performance of 2.1 because of the fact that I feel it could be a level of flatness. So I went deep diving trying to work out who can beat you. And it's just one of these ironic scenarios that I found it so hard to find a horse that can beat it, even if this horse turns up flat. And that's what horrified me.
Right.
Because it's a sort of profile you're like, you almost want to take on, right?
Yes.
Because it's not the right profile.
But you've got to find something to beat it.
Yeah. And this is what, and I mean, for me to then come up with Marco Chino's being one of the only possible horses that could take it on, that was a bit scary for me. But I'm giving respect to that horse, saying, okay, well, this is going to now really prove the talent of this particular stable and how good they are as trainers, because this is not going to be easy to overcome.
Well, Maricino and Bad Wolf are both the second and pretty much equal second favourite. So one went forward on that brutal tempo, third up and entitled to taper, and Bad Wolf, rock hard fit, probably the inner lane, but you wouldn't think any improvement to come there. How are you assessing them?
Yeah, well, what I probably can bring is some confidence is I feel that, firstly, Bad Wolf's going to need like a race shape where they're going to go hurdle speed, barrier trial speed, because Orr's got no chance of running the distance. None, zero. It's 100 to 1. Miles be 500 to 1. Seriously. I don't even know why it's hard in the market. That's just, to me, a bookmaker's trying to work out how can we take some money off people, because that's the reality, right? Now, maybe the bookmakers don't know, right? But I feel that they do, and the horse should not be that price. It should definitely have at least another digit next to it, and I expect it to have no chance myself personally, unless we've got this low probability of less than 5% chance that they're going to run 15 lengths below benchmark. And that's probably the only thing that can keep the horse in the race, is that type of scenario. But I can't be with it, Ralphie. And even if it ran to the performance of what it's done, let's say 1,500, which was a plus 1.9, that's probably still not going to be good enough to win.
Well, that's nice, because if people are looking for something to risk in their multis. So Maricino, though, that'll be the go-forward horse.
Maricino's different scenario altogether. This horse has got the proof on the board. Make no mistake, it's a high cruising horse, so I don't have an issue with the 13.52 starts back. Went into this last start with a flat line run, Ralph, and still went 9.4 first section. The flatness is definitely out of the horse, so expect the rebound, and it's going to be a very, very hard horse to pass from the front.
Nice. All right, and I'll better ask you about Deep Dive, given it's on the quick backup and significantly down in class both, not just from the Group 1 last start, obviously behind the star Western Empire, but the previous start, that was a very fast northern run.
Well, initially I had Deep Dive on the very first cut, of the dashboard. It was ranked second, and it was coming off that run from Northam of the plus 1.8. But then when we really peeled it apart and had a close examination, I just don't know how this horse is going to get the distance.
Yeah.
You have a look at that Belmont performance at 2,000 metres. It was off a short campaign, and there it was, 5.9 first sex. You can't get it any softer than that, Ralphie. And there it is. The big move in the mid-race was only 2.3. It actually had no finish with perfect velocity. In fact, the horse was badly tapering from the 400-metre mark. It already lost 1.8 lengths of velocity and then lost another two lengths of velocity over the last 200 metres. And okay, I don't like the setup. You know, after 57 days, it could have been into preparation. So I took all that as into consideration, saying, look, all these factors could have attributed to that. So then what I went looking for is, I went to see, I like to do the form like this, Ralphie. I need to be able to validate. I don't want to just say, yep. So my ego might come out and say, this is what it is. No. Let's look at facts, right? Here's the numbers. And so I went digging and I found that run back in December 2009. And this is one of the reasons why, when you're doing form, you got to look at all form if they've got a lot of history. And the reason why you want to do that, you want to use it like an encyclopedia, right? Not saying that you're going to repeat what you did there, although sometimes I like to do that in older horses because there are certain attributes in their profile and the way they're trending that they could rekindle something from 3 or 4 years ago, right? And I want to be ready for that to try and pounce on the advantage, right? But there it was, Ascot 1,800 metres, 9.2 first section. That's a golden speed. For any horse that can stay, that's golden, right? The mid-race, only going 3.4 lengths below benchmark. You've got every chance for maximum exertion, right? And there it is, 4.9 last 400 metres. Off a no-speed race for two-thirds of the race. That's the sign, and all you could deliver over the last 400 was plus 4.9, and then I peel it back against its shorter distance, that's already two lengths inferior. Another sign that it's a big taper in the neck. So what's this horse looking for? It's looking for a race, very much like I said, it's got to be a no-tempo race with no speed. The slower you go, the better its chances. But it's going to be a big struggle street horse for 2,000 metres, and that's why I demoted it. And I actually demoted it behind Bad Wolf, and I reckon they're identical in profiles, both 50s or worse.
Well, I'll just finish with one for multis here, because Paddy Shadow ran second in this race last year. I remember you gave it a good push when it ran second in Midnight Blue. So we know it'll run the distance. Is it a multi option?
This is definitely a knockout horse. Not in love with the campaign they've done. That's my only downside, and I don't know if something went wrong, but they started off in August with a campaign. Love that part. Did nothing first up, minus 6.2, and then they found themselves on a really wet track and did nothing again, and then we didn't see the horse anymore, and here it is, it's turned up 63 days later. The Larkin Barrier Trial was the leading, was really nothing, and there was the performance. The performance had merit. I have to admit, it had merit. Three lengths above benchmark first section, 5.7 above. The horse is entitled to really weaken, and it did. It didn't weaken like in a crazy way, but it's not a perfect setup, and we know the old story about mares, right?
Yep.
You've got to be in some sort of form. So it's not in that same sort of form, but is a flukish chance of getting on the podium.
Nice.
Because it gets a golden race shape.
All right. And we'll wind off with the last race of the day. The last race, Pike fans. Well, this is a horse with a little bit of talent in Bogart. But, gee, when I was doing my work, Vince, I'm looking and I'm thinking, gee, there's some pace up front. Beret. Sound, but off a soft lead, big bid 2 weeks earlier, almost ditto Apple Schnapps, second start new stable. Lorento, very fast, it'll be up front. And who's the closer? Maybe is it first up Bogart? Bogart for Pike is the last race. Beret was also, I was originally saying about the soft lead. So on my raw work, Vince, it looked like it was going to be a race full of pace, and maybe it could be an off-pace horse, but you've obviously got it an extra level here. How have you assessed this?
Yeah, this is a really strong race to finish off with, and probably a little bit more open than it may look on the first sort of glance. The only caveat I have is this. The performance last start, and you're talking to Barade, who's the favourite, is that correct?
Yeah, in an open race.
Yeah. It had a stack of merit. when I think through the structure. Firstly, the two lengths below benchmark was excellent. That was a 7.5 length improvement off the previous run. So it'd gone into a, come out of a race with no speed and then had to use plenty of energy. But this is the big sign in the mid-race, that mid-race squeeze. Firstly, going six lengths above is a PB for the horse in terms of how far above the benchmark between the eight and the four. And the squeeze was not over taxing, but it was solid of around eight lengths. And then the last 400 metres was plus 2.9. 100% the horse was entitled to taper, right? It was definitely entitled to do that, and it did. It tapered with a roughly two lengths deterioration in speed late, giving me plenty of confidence that it felt that move through the first two sections and did get tired and therefore further improvement. There's no doubt the horse is going to lose some speed early. That's probably the only negative staying at the 1400, because I feel this horse could run over longer distance. But there's nothing to suggest that the horse can't repeat what it did last start and possibly improve further. So I have to give it respect from both those angles. It's just below the threshold of what you need, but given the nature of the race and where this horse is at, there is this possibility this mare could find an extra half a length and be good enough to win.
Nice. Well, I mentioned the fast speed from Laurentino. How are you assessing it?
Yeah, well, Laurentino from the front, if he can get off the fence, I see this has been a very hard horse to run down. Used plenty of fuel through the first section. I mean, to go fast first up, plus 3.3, and then to improve on the speed up to 1,500 to plus 6, I actually see that as a positive sign going back in distance, because of the you're just, it's just like doing that training and you're going really, really fast and now coming back in distance by 100 metres and likely to go slower, which is usually a big asset for any horse. So it's unlikely the horse is going to go any faster than what it did last start, which is plus 6. I'm actually predicting the horse to go somewhere around plus 2, plus 4 range. So it's going to be well inside its comfort zone. I also love the fact that the horse was above benchmark all the way to the 200 metre mark before tanking out. And it should have. First up, but tanked out by around 2.9 over the last 200 metres, and this time, last start, it only tanked out by about 1.3. So you can see the improvement and going faster. So they've worked out how to get this horse sharp improvement to get to the top off a long break. And eight-year-old, the horse is going as well as it's ever gone, Ralphie. And there's this, I didn't put it on the scoreboard that the horse could run 2.4. I actually feel that the horse is probably a big chance of repeating last start 1.5. That means hard to miss the podium, and yeah, you got to respect it.
And Bogut carrying probably all of Australia again, well, half of Australia with Willie Pike in the last race. First up horse, good first up raw stat profile. What's it actually mean for tomorrow though, according to you?
Well, he missed out last week and he's probably going to miss out this week as well.
Right. A bit under, you don't want it to be, $6 is too short compared to the runners you've described so far.
I wouldn't back it if it was $60 or $100, and if I'd lost every race and I was praying for William Pike, I'd be looking for someone else to pray with.
Nice. All right, well, I might actually finish, because Apple Schnapps and Platinum Bullet are in the market. Should either of those be considered?
I like the name Apple Schnapps. Yeah. I sit back and, sometimes.
ETA. Yeah. MTA is also in the market.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand sometimes. I'm not a trainer, so I don't know. And yes, when I look at it and say all these beautiful breaks in between, and this is a good way to keep your horse up so you can keep getting your training fees. I know it's an awful way for me to talk, Ralphie, but unfortunately the business side of me comes out and says, yeah, well, you're just working out how to keep money coming in the tin. And I get it, because you've got to survive. But, you know, if this horse wins tomorrow, I'll be going, you know, far out, you know, Apple Schnapps me, mate, because I just can't see how it can win. Even though it bolted in last start with a benchmark performance and did all the work late, I mean, I can't fault it from that point of view. It reached a new PB, Ralphie, and thinking, well, that's just thrown all my, you know, thoughts out the window. I mean, this stable have been able to get this horse to go better. It's been able to win on wet track. So, really, from a form point of view, I can't fault it. But to have this horse go beyond 0.1, there it was, the peaking performance was last start. Can you repeat? If you repeat, you're a chance of running fourth at best.
So Laurentino, the one leading, and you expect Barrow to be charging hard, really, and they're the two, yes, that most advantage.
Absolutely.
All right, that's been our preview podcast of the Quaddy Legs of Winterbottom Stakes Day.